There was a very nice Brahmin friend of Lord Krishna, whose name was Sudama Vipra. As a perfect Brahmin, he was very elevated in transcendental knowledge. And because of his advanced knowledge, he was not at all attached to material enjoyment. Although the Brahmin friend of Lord Krishna was a householder, he was not busy accumulating wealth for a very comfortable living. Therefore, he was satisfied by the income which automatically came to him according to his destiny. Externally, he appeared to be very poor because he had no rich dress and could not provide a very rich dress for his wife. And because their material condition was not very opulent, they were not even eating sufficiently. And thus, both he and his wife appeared to be very thin. The wife was not very anxious for her personal comfort, but she felt very concerned for her husband, who was such a pious Brahmin. She was trembling due to her weak health, and although she did not like to dictate to her husband, she spoke with great concern for his well-being.
My dear Lord, I know that Lord Krishna, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, is your personal friend. You are also a devotee of Lord Krishna, and he is always ready to help his devotee. Please, therefore, go to him. I am sure that he will immediately understand your impoverished position. You are also a householder. Therefore, without any money, you are in a distressed condition. But as soon as he understands your position, he will certainly give you sufficient riches so that you can live very comfortably.
In this way, the wife of the Brahmin again and again requested, in great humility and submission, that he go to Lord Krishna. Sudama Vipra thought that there was no need to ask any material benefit from Lord Sri Krishna, but he was induced by the repeated requests of his wife. Moreover, he was thinking about the possibility of actually seeing the Lord.
If I go there, I shall be able to see the Lord personally. Oh, that will be a great opportunity, even if I don't ask any material benefit from him.
He had no thought within his heart other than to see Krishna. So the Brahmin bade farewell to his wife and set out from his hut. And, after traveling for many days and nights, at last, he reached the city of Dwarka. The roads and streets of the city were always crowded with elephants, horses, chariots, and infantry soldiers. The infantry soldiers passing on the streets were profusely decorated with golden ornaments, and horses and golden chariots plied along the streets. In the city there were as many as 900,000 great palaces, bedecked with jewels such as touchstone, sapphires, and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. In all directions of Dwarka, wherever one would turn, his eyes would find green parks and gardens, and each one of them was filled with trees and plants laden with fruits and flowers. Because there were so many nice trees of fruits and flowers, all the sweetly chirping birds and buzzing bees joined together to make sweet vibrations. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The city of Dwarka thus fully displayed all opulences. It was, of course, very difficult to enter the palaces of the king of the Yadu dynasty, but Brahmins were always allowed to visit. And when the Brahmin friend of Lord Krishna went there, he, along with other Brahmins, had to pass through three military encampments. In each camp, there were very big gates, and he also had to pass through them. After the gates and the camps, there were 16,000 big palaces, the residential quarters of the 16,000 queens of Lord Krishna. The Brahmin entered one palace, which was very gorgeously decorated. When he entered this beautiful palace, he felt he was swimming in the ocean of transcendental pleasure. He felt himself constantly diving and surfacing in that transcendental ocean. At that time, Lord Krishna was sitting on the bedstead of Queen Rukmini. Even from a considerable distance, he could see the Brahmin coming to his home, and he could recognize him as his friend. Lord Krishna immediately left his seat and came forward to receive his Brahmin friend, and upon reaching him, he embraced the Brahmin with his two beautiful arms. Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure, and yet he himself felt great pleasure upon embracing the poor Brahmin, because he was meeting his very dear friend. Lord Krishna had him seated on his own bedstead and personally brought him all kinds of fruits and drinks to offer him, as is proper in receiving a worshipable guest. Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme pure, but because he was playing the role of an ordinary human being, Krishna actually washed the Brahmin's feet, and, for his own purification, he sprinkled the water onto his head. It is said that when the residents of the palace saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead washing the feet of the poor, emaciated Brahmin, they became struck with great wonder at the humble attitude of the Lord. After thus offering him an adequate welcome, and after the Brahmin had taken food and drink, Lord Krishna said,
"My dear friend, it is a great fortune that you have come here."
Now, Lord Krishna was engaged for a long time in talking with Sudama Vipra about their past association. Just to enjoy the company of an old friend, Lord Krishna began to smile and address Sudama Vipra.
"Has your wife given you some nice eatable for me? You must have brought some presentation for me from your home."
While he was addressing his friend, Lord Krishna was looking upon him and smiling with great love. Lord Krishna knew that Sudama was hesitating to present some paltry morsels of chipped rice, which was actually unfit for Krishna's eating. The Lord, however, knew Sudama's mind.
"Certainly I am not in need of anything, but if my devotee gives me something as an offering of love, even though it may be very insignificant, I accept it with great pleasure. On the other hand, if a person is not a devotee, even though he may offer me very valuable things, I do not like to accept them. Actually, I accept only things which are offered to me in devotion and love. Otherwise, however valuable the thing may be, I do not accept it. If my pure devotee offers me even the most insignificant things, a little flower, a little piece of leaf, or even a little water, but saturates the offering in devotional love, then not only do I gladly accept such an offering, but I eat it with great pleasure."
Krishna assured Sudama Vipra that he would be very glad to accept even the most insignificant offering which he had brought from home. Yet, out of great shyness, Sudama Vipra hesitated to present it to the Lord and simply bowed his head. Lord Krishna, the Supersoul, knows everything within everyone's heart. He knows everyone's determination and everyone's want. He knew, therefore, the reason for Sudama Vipra's coming to him. He knew that, driven by extreme poverty, he had come there at the request of his wife. Thinking of Sudama as his very dear friend, he knew that Sudama's love for him as a friend was never tainted by any desire for material benefit.
"Sudama has not come asking anything from me, but being obliged by the request of his wife, he has come to see me just to please her." "Therefore, I shall offer this pure-hearted Brahmin more material opulence than could be imagined even by the King of Heaven."
Suddenly, he snatched the bundle of chipped rice which was hanging on the shoulder of the poor Brahmin.
"My dear friend, you have brought me some nice, palatable chipped rice. My dear Sudama,
I consider that this quantity of chipped rice will not only satisfy me, but will satisfy the whole creation.
It is to be understood from this statement that Krishna, being the original source of everything, is the root of the entire creation. As watering the root of a tree immediately distributes water to every part of the tree, so an offering made to Krishna, or any action done for Krishna, is to be considered the highest welfare work for everyone, because the benefit of such an offering is distributed throughout the creation. Love for Krishna becomes distributed to all living entities. While Lord Krishna was speaking to Sudama Vipra, he ate one morsel of chipped rice from his bundle. And when he attempted to eat a second morsel, Rukmini Devi, who is the goddess of fortune herself, checked the Lord by catching hold of his hand.
My dear Lord, this one morsel of chipped rice is sufficient to cause him who offered it to become very opulent in this life and to continue his opulence in the next life. You are so kind to your devotee that even this one morsel of chipped rice pleases you very greatly. And your pleasure assures the devotee opulence both in this life and in the next.
This indicates that when food is offered to Lord Krishna with love and devotion, and he is pleased and accepts it from his devotee, Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, becomes so greatly obliged to the devotee that she has to go personally to the devotee's home to turn it into the most opulent home in the world. After spending the night in the palace of the Lord, Sudama Vipra left the following morning. The learned Brahmin did not appear to have received anything substantial from Lord Krishna while he was at his palace, and yet he did not ask for anything from the Lord. He started for his home, thinking always about his reception by Krishna, and thus he became merged in transcendental bliss. Thinking in this way, the learned Brahmin gradually reached his own home. But on reaching there, he saw that everything had been wonderfully changed. He saw that in place of his own cottage, there were now huge palaces made of valuable stones and jewels. They were glittering like the sun and the moon and rays of fire. Not only were there big palaces, but at intervals there were beautifully decorated parks in which many beautiful men and women were strolling. In those parks, there were nice lakes full of lotus flowers and beautiful lilies, and there were flocks of multicolored birds. Seeing the wonderful conversion of his native place, the Brahmin began to think to himself,
"How am I seeing all these wonderful changes? Does this place belong to me or to someone else? If it is the same place where I used to live, then how has it so wonderfully changed?"
While the learned Brahmin was considering this, a group of beautiful men and women with features resembling those of the demigods, accompanied by musical chanters, approached to welcome him. All were singing auspicious songs. The wife of the Brahmin became very glad on hearing the tidings of her husband's arrival, and with great haste, she also came out of the palace. The Brahmin's wife appeared so beautiful that it seemed as if the goddess of fortune herself had come to receive him. As soon as she saw her husband present before her, tears of joy began to fall from her eyes, and her voice became so choked up that she could not even address her husband. She simply closed her eyes in ecstasy. But with great love and affection, she bowed down before her husband, and within herself she thought of embracing him. She was fully decorated with a golden necklace and ornaments, and while standing among the maidservants, she appeared like the wife of a demigod, just alighting from an airplane. The Brahmin was surprised to see his wife so beautiful. In great affection, without saying a word, he entered the palace with his wife. When the Brahmin entered his personal apartment in the palace, he saw that it was not an apartment, but the residence of the King of Heaven. The palace was surrounded by many columns of jewels. The couches and bedsteads were made of ivory and bedecked with gold and jewels. And the bedding, was as white as the foam of milk and as soft as a lotus flower. There were many whisks hanging from golden rods, and many golden thrones with sitting cushions as soft as the lotus. In various places, there were velvet and silken canopies with laces of pearls hanging all around. The structure of the building was standing on first-class transparent marble with engravings made of emerald stones. All the women in the palace were carrying lamps made from valuable jewels. The flames and the jewels combined to produce a wonderfully brilliant light. When the Brahmin saw his position suddenly change to one of opulence, and when he could not determine the cause of such a wonderful change, he began to consider very gravely.
From the beginning of my life, I've been extremely poverty-stricken. So what could be the cause of such great and sudden opulence? I do not find any cause other than the all-merciful glance of my friend Lord Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Certainly these are gifts of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy. The Lord is self-sufficient, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and thus he is always full with six opulences. He can understand the mind of his devotee, and he sumptuously fulfills the devotee's desires. All these are acts of my friend, Lord Krishna. My beautiful dark friend Krishna is far more liberal than the cloud which can fill up the great ocean with water. Without disturbing the farmer with rain during the day, the cloud brings liberal rain at night just to satisfy him. When the farmer wakes up in the morning, he considers that it has not rained enough. Similarly, the Lord fulfills the desire of everyone according to his position. And yet, one who is not in Krishna consciousness considers all the gifts of the Lord to be less than his desire. On the other hand, when the Lord receives a little thing in love and affection from his devotee, he considers it a great and valuable gift. The vivid example is myself. I simply offered him a morsel of chipped rice, and in exchange, he has given me opulences greater than the opulence of the King of Heaven.
What the devotee actually offers to the Lord is not needed by the Lord. He is self-sufficient. If the devotee offers something to the Lord, it acts for his own interest, because whatever a devotee offers to the Lord comes back in a quantity a million times greater than that which was offered. One does not become a loser by giving to the Lord, but he becomes a gainer by millions of times. The Brahmin was feeling a great obligation to Krishna.
I pray to have the friendship of Lord Krishna and to engage in his service and to surrender full unto him in love and affection, life after life. I do not want any opulence. I only desire not to forget his service. I simply wish to be associated with his pure devotees. May my mind and activities be always engaged in his service. Krishna knows that many great personalities have fallen from their positions because of extravagant opulence. Therefore, even when his devotee asks for some opulence from him, the Lord sometimes does not give it. He is exactly like a well-wishing father who does not give much wealth into the hand of his immature son, but who, when his son is grown up and knows how to spend money wisely, gives him the whole treasury house.
The learned Brahmin thus concluded that whatever opulences he had received from the Lord should not be used for his extravagant sense gratification, but for the service of the Lord. The Brahmin accepted his newly acquired opulence, but he did so in a spirit of renunciation, unattached to sense gratification, and thus he lived very peacefully with his wife, enjoying all the facilities of opulence as prasadam, or mercy of the Lord. He enjoyed varieties of foodstuffs by offering it to the Lord and then taking it as prasadam. Similarly, if by the grace of the Lord we get such opulences as material wealth, fame, power, education, and beauty, it is our duty to consider that they are all gifts of the Lord and must be used for his service and not for our sense gratification. The learned Brahmin remained in that position, and instead of deteriorating due to great opulence, his love and affection for the Lord increased day after day. Material opulence can be the cause of degradation, and it can also be the cause of elevation, according to the purpose for which it is used. If opulence is used for sense gratification, it is the cause of degradation, and if it is used for the service of the Lord, it is the cause of elevation. Sudamavipa realized that although Lord Krishna is unconquerable, he nevertheless agrees to be conquered by his devotees. He realized how kind Lord Krishna was to him, and he was always in trance, constantly thinking of Krishna. By such constant association with Lord Krishna, whatever darkness of material contamination was remaining within his heart was completely cleared away. And very shortly, he was transferred to the spiritual kingdom, which is the goal of all saintly persons in the perfectional stage of life. It is stated that all persons who hear this history of Sudamavipra and Lord Krishna will know how affectionate Lord Krishna is to the devotees like Sudama. Therefore, anyone who hears this history gradually becomes as qualified as Sudamavipra, and he will thus be transferred to the spiritual kingdom of the Supreme Lord.